Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Roundtable. This is number 15 for us. That's impressive. I know it's been a while. I've had some scheduling and everybody else, and it's summertime. It's always busy. Tyler's been serving our country. Thank you for that. So how's everybody doing? Dean, what's been going on? Are you okay?
You're jumping right to me. Yeah. You know what's going on. It's a busy, busy summer for me. I am changing jobs once again.
Once again, Dean has same career area, but you're going to say you're going to let people
different place altogether. Well, I'm moving away from healthcare and moving into the parish, going to a church.
Dean's going to get his own congregation. Tell me that's not a little scary. Well, that is congratulations, Dean. Sincere congratulations. All right, Stu, how have you been? How's your summer going? You've been to Vegas. I know that.
Just got back from Vegas. Not that much of a successful trip. It was fun. And I went with my dad. And when I got back, I am starting my own new career. Back in the poker room, this time as management. So,
nice.
I'm somebody's boss. I can't believe that they let that slide. I just
wow. Tyler, you've been off. Tyler, for those of you who don't know, is a U.S. Marine and was off in the National Guard, correct?
Yeah, I was gone Marine Reserves. I was in California.
Marine Reserves.
Got back late last month. And since I've gotten back, I've been training really hard in the boxing gym, and I'm making my professional debut later this summer.
In boxing?
Yep.
Wow. What's the other fight thing? You know, I don't know. I'm old.
MMA.
MMA, come on. So yeah. Professional debut as what? What welterweight?
As a super welterweight, so 154.
154. Man.
You are going to go as Tyler, the Collector, right?
Oh, boy.
The Collector.
That's awesome.
Oh, all right. Fun. All right, Dustin?
I've been training hard, and I'm going to fight Tyler here in a couple of months. The thing is, I'm coming in as a super heavyweight, so I don't know how that's
going to go. Let's get ready to rumble! Yeah, I mean, you got an interesting gig this summer. Literally, that's kind of fun.
So I'll be honest, some of that has fallen through right now, but I am every weekend playing two or three gigs, like playing bass and playing guitar, and there's a chance I have an opportunity to go out on the road with a pretty well-known country music artist that I'm hoping happens. It's also fluid right now and it's stressing me out, but I don't know. I get to sit here and talk to you guys about it.
Well, that's still a cool opportunity. If you're even just in the mention, that's awesome.
Yeah. That's kind of what I've been doing. Honestly, I'm still doing some horse trading with currency and coins and stuff, but ultimately I've shifted my focus to music and just, you know, I'm a school teacher too, so it's the summer. So like you said, Dan, I'm not working.
Yeah, no, teachers don't do anything in the summer.
Right.
I don't mean that, teachers. That's sarcasm, big time. Yeah. All right, Ontario 100.
Oh, I'm still retired, still trying to stay cool in the summer. did start a new book that Tyler recommended for me, The History of the Ancient World. So I'm reminiscing about my childhood. So.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
Good book too, by the way.
Awesome. I know Dean is into a little bit the long game history. Yep. With that. All right. Yeah. Been a good summer for me. Just been here and there, good and bad. It is what it is. I did find out I am going to be a grandfather. So that's the best thing.
All right.
Grandchild.
Congratulations.
In September. So, you know, I figure, you know, everybody's asking me, what are they going to call you? And I'm pretty sure I'm going to be G Daddy.
Uh-huh. Okay. G Daddy.
No, it's just.
Man, that was awkward for Dan. Yeah. I'll just be honest.
Yeah.
No, it's Grandpa. That's all I want. I don't want.
Really?
I just want Grandpa. That's it.
Okay.
Grandpa. All right. So what we've got on tap this evening, besides all of our boring lives, Got a couple things, and the main thing that we're going to do, as you saw in the title of the coming in on the video, is what do we collect and why, and give you a little insight on what that is. But I had a couple other topics that came up that one we're going to get to right away. And it was a question that came in from fellow YouTuber Mike at Walker Magnet. And I'm paraphrasing it a little bit differently than he asked it, but it is pertaining to what everybody talking about the values of notes and a little bit about grading as far as the terminology that applies to it. So we're going to kind of go around the table here. And so here's the question. When buying currency, do pinholes, rust spots, or other comments downgrade the value of a note? Does EPQ PPQ add value to the note as opposed to just a straight grade? What are your thoughts? Let's start with Dustin. Dustin, what do you think?
So, in the fancy world, I don't care about any of that stuff. But, if I look at it at in the whole picture, talking about, we'll start with EPQ, which exceptional paper quality, or PPQ, which is what's
Premium.
PPQ?
Premium paper
Premium
quality.
paper quality. Yeah, it's the old PCGS thing. That matters on a lot of notes. I would say pre what 1928, I think, is where, or 1935, right through there, some of those silver certificates. I think it matters somewhat, but you'll see it more importantly on like the large size notes. Going to rust and pinholes and all that, fancy world, it doesn't matter. But if you're going out looking for premium notes and looking for good stuff, I mean, rust really does take away from that eye appeal. It's always paper clips. That's what you always see, seemingly, is paper clips at the top of the note.
Tyler, thoughts?
Oh yeah, EPQ, PPQ, it adds significant value. And really what that's telling you is that note is original. You can find a 45 or a 53, 58, even up to, I believe, 63 or 64 is as high as it can go without EPQ. After that, it's commensurate with the grade. But what's that telling you? That's telling you, hey, this note hasn't been pressed. This note has not been washed. And you can take notes that are a 30 that look great. But guess what? It was washed at one point. And when they're grading that note and they realize that, it's going to be just a straight grade. It's not going to have that designation. And that's going to detract a little bit of value compared to an EPQ or PPQ note. Now, notes with comments, like you said, pinholes, rust, margin tears, small things like that. For a collector like me looking for, lower to mid-grade type notes, especially now when I'm looking for such difficult types, I don't mind that stuff as long as it's not really too distracting, unless the rarity is just crazy.
I mean,
But
like an example, and I want to bring up your example of that is your $50 1869 Rainbow. I mean, that's where it's such, I mean, a great note, and it's so rarity, scarcity, both combined, that it's just to have one, it's really like, who cares? I mean,
at that point, it almost helps me because it comes in cheaper than it would otherwise.
Stu. Thoughts?
Well, the first thing I wanted to bring out is when you're talking about EPQ or PPQ, you're talking quite literally about the paper quality. And if you have a graded note, you can't feel the paper quality because it's already sealed in the, whatever the grading holder is. Whereas if you're dealing with a raw note, you can actually feel the quality of the paper itself. That's the importance of the PPQ and EPQ designation because you don't get to put your fingers on the note. One of the other things, like Tyler was saying, is if a note was pressed, that takes away its EPQ designation. More specifically, you have to remember that notes, when they are printed, all the ink has a raised edge. So if you press the note, you've now compacted all that ink into the paper. That's the big deal about pressing notes. So when you have a note that you can't handle because it's in a holder, that's the importance of having the EPQ or PPQ designation. As for the holes, pinholes to me, If it has one pinhole or if it has six pinholes, to me, that doesn't change the thing. You know, once you have one, you're not really going to make it any worse after having another one. But to me, that is just such a great negotiating tool because now you can say to the person who is the owner of the note, yeah, it grades out at a 40, but it's got a pinhole. You know, so now you've got room to go back and forth. And the opposite is true with the EPQ and PPQ. If you've got an EPQ note and it's a 40, well, now you take the 40 price and you can probably get a little bit more for it. What the actual percentage more, you know, who's to say? That's what makes the negotiations fun.
Yeah, Dean.
Well, the EPQ and PPQ wasn't a really big deal for me when I first started collecting notes. But as I've learned, I especially about the originality of the note and that paper quality. When I bought a note recently. It was a Canadian note, had a 30 EPQ on it, and holding that note, you really do notice the difference when you compare it to other notes in your collection. So for me, it is starting to become more important to me, and it is going to add value, I think, as I continue to collect, in my eyes at least. And as far as the other stuff goes, you know, I got a nice $20 gold certificate. It's full of pinholes. I'm okay with that. But something like rust, I try to stay away from. I don't know why. I just don't like the look of it on a note. So, you know, again, to the overall conversation, you know, it's about eye appeal. And of course, if something doesn't have great eye appeal, it's going to be less value. But you know, if it's a rare note, then yeah, maybe somebody will say, hey, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and get that, even if it's a net grade, because they really need it for their collection and it is that rare. So I guess it depends on what you're looking for and what is you know, going on with the note itself.
Ontario.
Well, I think most of it's been said and said quite well. The only thing I would add is just personally, I try to stay away from notes with comments most of the time. But if a note is rare enough, a purchaser can't be a chooser. You know, you have to buy the note that's in front of you if it's rare enough. I think that has less of a an effect on the price.
I mean, for me, it's kind of like putting it this way. For me, it's like technically for every single grade that you have. So if you've got a VF30, there's actually four grades available. You've got a net or a details, you've got comments, you have a straight grade with no comments, or you got a EPQ PPQ. Every one of those is going to be a different price. And that's where going back to where Steve was talking about is the negotiating and how much does that affect. But really, for one grade, there are four different prices for that. And that's really what it is. Now, the question I think that folk collectors want to know is like, well, it says it's a VF30. Should it jump up to the price of a VF35? Should a VF30 overtake a VF35, choice F35? I don't think so. I don't believe that. I don't think that that should be. But you could have a straight grade VF35 that doesn't have a lot of eye appeal, but it's still a 35, where you've got a 30 that's PPQ that looks great. Maybe they're equal. That's the game. That's the negotiation. That's the, hey, I'm going to try to get a better deal. Or if I'm selling, I'm trying to go get a better price. And so it is tough, but that's,
An unusual example there is the 1928 gold certificates, especially the 10. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but they do not issue many EPQ grades on those things. Are y'all aware of this?
No.
Nope, never heard.
Okay, so it's something to research, and I just learned just from being in the business and talking to some of the big wigs. I had a guy one time because I had a $10 1928, and he just lost his mind over it. And I was totally unaware of that. And I don't know, I guess that might have been the turning moment that made me start looking at it a little bit closer sometimes.
Well, and again, none of it, like Dustin started with you, end with you. When you said, hey, fancy serial numbers, it doesn't mean anything. I know national bank notes, probably 95% of all national doesn't matter. The grade doesn't really matter for a lot of those. So that's what it is. All right, moving on to the main topic. So, kind of like, everybody kind of asks us what we collect. We kind of share what we collect, but we really never, talk about it in, I guess, on our channels per se or how. But it's like, what do we collect and why is the question for each one of us? And where are we going with our collections? That's kind of where it is. And we'll start off with the main one first. I'm going to go right to Tyler first.
Oh boy.
We're going to go kind of what I think youngest to oldest is. How about that?
Oh boy. All right, so yeah, so I'm a big type note collector, and when I got into the hobby, my kind of philosophy was, get one of every note that was issued for regular circulation and like just one type of each design. And I've had a lot of success, but it took me a while to kind of delineate what was what and figure out all the notes that I actually needed to complete the set. And I'm still kind of trying to figure that out. For example, like the 1907 and 1906 gold certificates, do those count, or am I just sticking with the 1922s? Because now I'm hitting this point where every note is like $2,000 to $4,000 or $5,000, and I can't really make additions like that anymore. And these notes are kind of, they're not as expensive, and I'm like, I could just add them in there for, completeness. But that's kind of where my philosophy was.
You're only a US currency note
On, only US, yeah.
US.
And but I do have some. So like that same philosophy kind of carries over towards coins, but I haven't made that jump really.
I'm
I have
sorry, you
some
got
coins
garbled. What did you say?
Yeah, you see, that might be something that I do later on, but right now I'm still real focused on large notes. I've mostly finished the small notes besides like the 1933 10 and all the high denomination notes, which I'm just not comfortable buying because their prices are so inflated.
Yeah. All right, I'm going right to you, Ontario. I lied about the age to be.
All right. Well, that's a compliment if you go from Tyler to me and we're going by age. But well, like Tyler, I'm into type notes. I've been trying to sort of turn the ship recently and focus my collection better, sort of curate it better. And so what I've decided to do is focus on different series, like for example, the 1880 legal tenders. Since I was lucky enough to win that $50 legal tender, I thought, well, let's get the one, the two, the five, the 10, and the 20, and kind of make a little set, if you will. Of course, I'll never get the 100, but anyway, so that's kind of what I'm doing now. I did the same with the 1902 National banknotes, get one of each. Why am I doing that? Because I like it, and I like history, and so I kind of like order. I think that's another characteristic of mine. I kind of like to put things in order. So anyway.
Dustin, I know you're in a major, this is part of, you were, when we were talking about this, it's like it needs to be talked about, I think. And that's why I'm like glad you're here for that reason, not personally.
Yeah, so if you hadn't been on my channel and watched my last two videos, then okay, here's the deal. I've sold every note I have. And now, like I said earlier, I'm kind of a horse trader with stuff, and it's honestly kind of back to my roots, because this is it's my honestly my comfort zone is if I'm not collecting, I'm thinking of how can I make a buck on this, because I have all of these connections locally here in Northwest Arkansas, and these people still call me. I get two or three phone calls a week.
Don't
Hey man, I
disappear.
got this. I got this. Can you sell it? Whether it be gold or silver or, a 1917 legal tender, whatever. So that's where my focus is, and I'll eventually get back into the hobby. Well,
give yourself some credit, by the way, Dustin, is that you do have the knowledge. I mean, just because you only collected fancies or had a lot of star notes, your knowledge on overall, all variations is pretty stunning.
Well,
And that
thank
really, really hurt for me to say that.
you. Thanks. Thanks. I don't think I can compliment you, though. I'm sorry.
But
Now, I've had so many people reach out and say, "Man, you got me into fancies. It's a sickness," you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, Dean knows. Dean's
Oh
well
yeah,
aware.
yeah. Well, sorry to cut in, but
Well, let's just
Dustin.
segue. I mean, I'm sorry,
Yeah,
Dustin.
go for it,
Well,
Dean. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, no. What I was gonna say is, Dustin, you're still in the hobby. Like Dustin will, he'll text me a picture of a fancy with zeros and sevens to be like, "Hey, you gonna buy this stuff?" You
Yeah,
know.
this is yours. You
So
need
yeah,
to buy this.
so you know, you're in the hobby. That
Oh yeah.
was it. That was it.
No, well, while we're there, keep going. Keep going.
So what I'm working on is I am actually almost finished with my 1937 Canadian Bank of Canada notes. I just need the 50, so I'm going to be buying that, and that'll be pretty much completing that set. I might go a little bit deeper in that with signatures and such. I don't know if I will or not, but with some of the notes, like the $1, I do have different signatures because there actually is some varieties there. So I don't know if I'll keep going with that or not, but that's something that I've been working on, and I've been buying a lot of notes. And why am I doing it? Because it brings me some enjoyment. It's fun to do the research. It's fun to hunt for these notes. You know, I'm on more sites and going to shows now more often, which is kind of fun, just to see what's out there. You know, I don't know if I'm doing a ton of buying, but I'm certainly looking at a lot of different things. That's the big one that I've been trying to complete, and I just, you know, I shared with you guys 100 that I just recently got from Great Collections. So, like I said, I just need that 50, and it'll complete that 1937 Bank of Canada series. Yeah.
I mean, so what describe Dean, what is your main? I mean, if there's a is there a main, and there maybe there isn't. Maybe there isn't a main collection.
For currency, I don't know if it's quite a type collection. You know, that's what I was going to talk about a little bit later. But obviously, I got my fancies. I've been picking up a lot of star notes. I know I picked up a couple star notes from Ontario. I'm probably coming back for that $100 bill there, if you still got it, Ontario.
Got
You know, I've been liking those, especially those solid stars. I think it's just they look cool.
Yes.
Then I don't know what it is. I get kind of sucked into those nuances, like the narrow versus wide. I've been picking up those of different denominations of narrow versus wide, and I think it's completely stupid. It doesn't add any value to them. But for me, it's kind of fun. So I've been picking those up and getting into the trap of those nuances. And then my Canadian collection, yeah, I'm going to continue to collect Canadian notes. And I've actually kind of surprised myself because I have started collecting Dominion of Canada notes, which are those early notes, late 1800s into the early 1900s. And those notes, the reason why I never thought I was going to collect those is they are more expensive than other years of the more modern notes. But I'm trying to buy two tonight on Great Collection, so I'll give you the update on that.
Mr. Plubeck.
Well, I've got pieces of all of this. I started off
Yeah.
much like Tyler. I want one of everything. That's how I started. But much like Ontario, I want a list. I want to be able to complete something. And there just aren't a whole lot of lists out there for us to try to do that. So when someone introduced me to the top 100 book or 100 currency notes, I thought, well, here's a list. And I've been very focused on trying to knock out as many of those as possible. Now, recently, I did the videos showing the notes that you just can't afford. And then I had another list showing the notes that they're just too unique or they're too rare to actually be able to be in everybody's collection. I mean, if there's only two notes, obviously I'm not going to have one of them. But there are roughly 50 notes that can be gotten. And from that list, I'm at like 34. So to have 34 of the top 100, that's pretty impressive. So when it comes to my
Solid, man.
focus, that's where I'm going. Tyler, did you ever try to check off that list? Because I know you've got a bunch of doozies on there. Do you have a body count for that?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I can get back to you with that.
Okay.
I'd imagine I'm probably around where you are because you have some of the like obsolete notes and stuff.
Right. Yeah, the obsoletes, and then I've got the continentals or the colonials that are listed on there as well.
Because I have the PMG registry, and one of them is the top 100, and I believe I have like 21 PMG notes on that list. So I'm not sure exactly where I fall, but yeah, I can get back to you on that.
Okay. But yeah, that top 100 list, such a cool book, such a bunch of cool information in that book about the history, about price changes over the years, about how many are left. And if you compare it to coins, I mean, there is no comparison. If there was a coin where there was only 200 of those in existence,
You're
you
done.
could buy the coin or a car, you know? So to
House.
me, yeah, or a house, exactly. So yeah, that's why my main focus on my collection has shifted to that top 100.
So I wind up seem to be making my own list a lot. I mean, I'm like, and it's based on what I can afford, what is out there, and again, researching for me as far as is it achievable? Like it really bugs me when I can't complete a list. Like Ontario, you mentioned, I'll probably never get the 100. It still bugs me, but I'm still going to collect them. I'm still going to try to get as high as I can. But for my main collection, it's trying to complete the US large size, a $1 to $5 type set. And I've got one more left of the ones, and I think I've got one more left of twos, and I got a way to go on the fives because the price goes up, so they get a little bit harder to purchase on that. But I've made a pretty good dent on that. And again, we talked about the type collection on a video, roundtable that we had a while back, saying, well, what is the type, the affordable? You look at your collection, it's like, okay, I'm not gonna ever gonna get that certain 1880 brown large brown seal or whatever it is. There's just so rare, and then they are very costly. And then to add to the rarity scarcity thing. But I put together my own list to something that I believe is achievable. Whether or not I get there, it doesn't matter, for that aspect. And we all have, well, we'll go around the horn again, and I'm going to swing back to Ontario. I mean, just minor or smaller set collections. I mean, I probably have 10 more subcategories that I have made sub. And I would encourage you my advice if people are looking, saying, okay, what should I collect? Do your homework that you can get these first. That can they be completed? And if not, like in my type collection, I completed what I've said. This is my mini set, and it's the large size 1922 golds. I've got the 10, I got the 20, I got the 50. That's it. I'm done. I have determined that is my set
Limit.
for that. So there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
Ontario,
not at
I mean,
all.
is there other, like, I know you go other outside of what you had just mentioned as far as other things that you collect.
Yeah, one of the things I've gotten into in this year, at least, is in my home state of South Carolina, I have researched and found that there were about 20, roughly 20 obsolete banks that operated in this state. So I'm working on trying to get one note from each of those banks.
Yeah,
that is
state
awesome.
collection
that's
of
cool.
obsolete.
That
So
is cool. I mean, this is
that's one of
where
the things I'm working on.
in Ontario, when we talked, I mean, national banknotes, US currency, are extremely tough for South Carolina.
Yeah, that's
You
bad.
get
That's a rough state.
yeah. And so I appreciate that collection because some of you look at obsoletes. That's a possibility. Those are very similar to the national hometown bank type feel.
And they're plentiful. They're usually not expensive. Excuse
Yeah.
me. I mean, there are exceptions, but usually they're not terribly expensive.
Dustin, I'm gonna go right around the horn again. Any other minor collections that you've collected that have not been specifically fancies or
Yeah, so the one that comes to mind that you know, when I reflect back on it, it was just so awesome to complete it. What was that 1928 numeral seal star note
with
all the denominations? They were all like the seven numeral.
Yep.
God, it probably took 3 years to do. The 10 is stupid rare. It's one of those where there's like 37 of them. But I mean, the hunt. I mean, that's why we do this, guys. The hunt.
All right, Stu Plubeck. Mine, you know, some of your off series of, I mean, because you're a tough one to pin down, I think, because you do anything. You're just the currency vacuum.
I am a bargain hunter, which is why it took me so long to actually find a direction, because I'm fascinated by all of it. And the only thing that stops me from buying it is the price. So when I see a note for a good price, I'm most certainly going to get it, almost regardless of what it is. As far as another type of note that I collect, are my errors. I mean, I have a pretty vast selection of graded and ungraded errors, all of them being legit. I mean, here's my, United States Paper Money Errors book. All the errors that I have are listed in here. It's not, is that ink on it or is that an overprint? Yeah, no, I mean, I have the genuine errors. And recently to that, I never thought I'd be able to get a note with two different serial numbers on it. And I was able to score that at the latest show.
Nice.
That was an awesome pickup. That's
nice. Yeah.
I'm not a fancy guy, but that is error. That's an error fancy. I mean,
yes. Yeah. That's most certainly an error. And even looking at the note, you don't even notice it right away, but that I can truly appreciate. But it's great to be able to have that as a collection. I don't have everything. There's still things that I'm looking to add to that, but that would most certainly be my secondary collection.
Dean, back to you.
Well, along the lines of what Ontario was saying with obsoletes, I've been, this is kind of a very minute, I don't really show it often. Actually, I don't think I've ever shown it on my channel. I like obsoletes with nautical scenes. So if the vignettes are ships or whaling or things like that, or shipbuilding, I'm drawn to those vignettes, and I've been picking up quite a few of those. And what's nice is a lot of them are only in like the $30, $40, $50 range. They're relatively cheap. If the vignette looks nice and there's holes in the note, I don't really care. If the vignette looks great, it's going to fit in my collection. So it's a super simple collection for me. The thrill of the hunt is there for that because you're not always seeing them. You do see a lot, but you got to look for them. And then the other one that's really big for me for hunting is my fancy collection. For zeros and sevens, I think on eBay, I think I have every sequence of zeros and sevens that just pops up. And
dude, I've been there.
Yeah. and then like, as Dan says, it's like five, six, seven times the actual value of the note. But anyway,
right.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know. It's just, like you described, Dan, it's like when you get the note, especially when you're like, wow, it exists. And then you buy it, and then sometimes you're like, ooh, did I pay too much? It's okay, because like you said, when you get it and you put it with the other notes in your collection, you're just like, yeah, I really needed that. I really needed that. So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I get eclectic in my mini collections, and I have a considerable amount of ones. But I mean, my biggest secondary one is probably my World banknote, the contemporary, what's equal to a dollar. Or the smallest modern notes that the world puts out, and I'm tracking like 200 countries. And if they issue a new $5 bill, and that's the equivalent to R1, I pick it up. And it's cheap, it's fun, it keeps me entertained. Canadian and Mexican currency, I fell for those. and just going back to the 1920s, I pretty much have completed what I think I can afford for the most part. I mean, there's holes in there, but going back to, like, I'd really love to do the 1935, complete that set.
Yeah.
For the, I believe, the 50 and the 100. But those, those start.
Tough notes. Yeah.
I do have a U.S. I mean, this, I can't believe I have this signature, and it's like one of my dirty currency secret ones. And it wasn't a secret, but U.S. small size banknotes and signature collection, FR numbers for and only Minneapolis Federal Reserve. But to have that, and I'm probably like 10 fives away. I've completed the twos and the fives. but just weird little currency. And then I encourage this because, if you're going, I'm starting to go into a mode, and like Tyler, it's like, getting your fix. I mean, we're collectors. It is a fix. We need that adrenaline run. And if I'm saving up for larger notes, and then in worst case scenario, it's like, oh, dang it, a note, I have to buy it. I have to buy it. That happened with a Cuba 1950 note that I had. It compl or 1955 $100 note. It completed my Cuba collection. And I didn't want to buy it. I wasn't ready to, but it was there. It was. And like Stu, you always say, get the note, buy it.
Yeah,
the
Are you
time to
gonna
see
buy
it?
the note is when you
Get it.
see it.
Well, that killed my back end, my little savings nest, right? Which, when you kill the savings nest, then you're kind of, what do I pick up? And that's where these, like my New Zealand banknotes from 1985, World War II Allies and Axis currency, they're cheap. Pick them up. You can have these other types of collections. U.S. currency made for the Philippines. That fascinates me. PEP made them for our colony, and it was a colony. I don't care what you call it. For the Philippines, it's just so interesting to me. So there's places that you can say, okay, I'm saving up, and a bunch of mini collections have been a result of that for me. It's like, okay, I'm waiting, and there's going to be a couple big notes. Like I am going to go for the lazy deuce on the national bank note, the $2. I'm going to have to pretty much stop buying anything big for a while to get that note for me. So that's kind of what I do, and it's just, I encourage people to think outside the box on stuff too that you can enjoy collecting currency. It doesn't have to all be US, but if that's your gig, whatever. I get it. I get it. I get it. Anybody else have anything else to add? We got a little bit of time for another subject I'd like to throw out. And do we have anything else to add to what we collect and why?
No, I don't have anything there, but I think we should tell our viewers that they can hear these podcasts on Spotify and Apple and iHeart. Don't you think you should mention that, Dan?
Well, I always leave it for me to forget and you to remember because
It's like a Paul Harvey moment right there.
it's like listening to a podcast and then all of a sudden they have this horrible segue into a commercial. That's so obvious. But yes, yes, he is right. Yes, we do. I do put this on a podcast just for the currency roundtables for us. So you can drive in pain, listening.
Oh,
All right. So this next little segment here, and we might go long. I might cut it. I don't know. So I'm going to take a, this next segment is kind of different for me. I received an email from a member of the National Banknote Collectors Facebook group. And what he was asking is really kind of saying, hey, the industry, the terminology has changed, and it really should have been changed a long time ago as it applies to national banknotes large size. Specifically, he asked that I quit referring to First Charter, Second Charter, Third Charter national banknotes. It is very, and they are confusing. They are very confusing. And why is there? And he refers to a 1908 book that he's the culprit that started it. Again, the gentleman who provided me the email was very nice, but he also said, I'm doing a disservice. And I'm like, I'm just one little stupid channel. I mean, I'm lucky if I get 500 views. Why don't you talk to US Paper Money Book, who use it all over the place? Why don't you talk to those people? So it was a very nice comment. I wound up having a really great conversation with him, but it was like at the same time, did I my nose wrinkle a little bit? Yes, because it sounded snotty a little bit. It sounded to me, and I'm going there, Ontario. It just it sounded like you're not in our club. You have to talk this way to be in our club. I hate that. But I'll put my big boy pants on and say it made perfect sense to me when you really think about it. Because it is confusing on the First Charter, Second Charter, it is. And to be able to sit there and call it Series 1902 National Banknote Red Seal, series 1902 plane back, date back. That's it. That's we don't call legal tenders first, series 1862 or first charter series legal tenders or silver certificates or gold certificates. You don't apply it anywhere else except for national banknotes. So, thoughts on that, gentlemen? Any
Well,
reactions? Am I overreacting? I'm sure.
my comparison is what I'm currently doing now. For those of you who don't know, I used to be a poker dealer. I'm currently training a new class of poker dealers. And when it comes to poker, I am very old school. I'm training blackjack dealers to deal poker. And one of the things in poker is there are no ones, twos, or threes in a deck of cards, at least in a poker deck. They're aces, deuces, and trays. And every time my students say a pair of twos, I'll say, what? And, oh, a pair of deuces. Yeah, no, that's what they're called. They're called trays, they're called deuces, and they're called aces. A jack is not an 11, it's a jack, So, but the whole deuce tray thing, that's old school, old time poker. And I reinforce that to them because that's what sets poker apart from all the other games. So when poker players hear you referring to them as deuces and trays, they understand that you are a professional poker dealer and not just a random dealer dealing this particular game. So I understand where he's coming from when we attribute the first charter period, second charter period, third charter period, when technically, those don't actually exist. So I can appreciate where he's going as far as that is. And the more you explained it, the more it made sense. When you start talking about the first charter period, what you're talking about are the originals and you're talking about the 1875s. Okay, well, you're right. Why should I call those the first charter period? I should most certainly call them the original series and the 1875s because they're differentiated that way. I don't need a third qualifier on that.
Right.
But I
I
understand him asking you because, according to ChatGPT, you are the number one currency channel on
Okay, yeah, thanks. That's going cutting room floor.
YouTube.
I just wanted to say, like I see where he's coming from, and that obviously makes sense, but I like the as a type collector who involves national notes. I do like first charter, especially because original and 1875s, they both have that vignette on the back, and that's what I'm collecting. I don't care if it's the 65 or 75 or whatever. I just want a first charter one with the with that vignette on the back, and with the 1902s, I don't care if it's a date back or if it's not third charter. It kind of works for a type collecting, minded person. But for the second charter, you have the brown backs and all that and value back, date back. There's a lot going on there. So there's that could get a little bit too ambiguous, but I kind of like the first, second, and third charter idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we all grew up on it, right? I mean, that was the terminology. And
Then the
I
Friedberg book.
guess, and again, I gotta, if you're watching, the gentleman who sent the email in, again, it was a very kind email, and it was not how you wrote it, it's how I took it. So it's my problem. I really do mean that. But at the same time, I'm kind of looking at, you're expecting me to do something about this? How about the Society of Paper Money Collectors? I'm a member. I appreciate it greatly. What are they doing about it?
Right.
And I just look at it going, this is coming from Peter Huntoon, who wrote a beautiful article on it. And, if you don't know who Peter Huntoon is, he's above, if there's a word above expert, he's it, for currency in a lot of areas for it. But my problem is like, okay, well, you have the Society of Paper Money Collectors. What are they doing about it? Peter's very into the SPMC. So I get it. I am changing. I did it the last video. That's when I made my change. It was about a national banknotes, and I never said the word first, second, third charter. Because I do get it. And Tyler, to your point, I get it too. But the problem is, it is the original series. It is the series of 1875. It's so when you're going legal tenders, brown seal. I mean, that almost, you got the brown seal, you got the red seal, you got the red round seal, you got the scallop seal, all on. How do you
Acres,
differentiate
acres.
that? They're all types, and I'm with you on the type. I don't need an example of every one of those seals. I don't know, and that's where the FR, the FR number takes care of that, I guess. But to me, it's more of it's like folks who are way up there in the currency language. I mean, I wouldn't call any of us experts. No offense to anybody sitting here talking. We're just collectors that have a lot of knowledge. We've gained a lot of knowledge. We've read books. The book information might be incorrect. We don't know. It's what it is. And that's, I try to confirm everything that I say on my videos and I get it wrong still. I try to confirm it twice. Sometimes you can't.
Right.
I get nervous with this. Well, you're not saying it right. That don't be unfriendly to new collectors.
Yeah.
I want to remove all barriers to new collectors.
I think it
Well, it's yeah. Go ahead, Dustin.
comes down to, we all have, well, I shouldn't say we all, but this is a niche thing, and I'll just speak from the fancy world. I can call Dean and talk about, ladders and radars and repeaters and all this stuff. And then I can call Dan, and Dan's going to hang up on me because he doesn't care. It's not his thing, but it's, I don't know where I'm going with
Hang
that. But
up on you
anyway,
anyways, but whatever.
so with it being such a niche thing, Dan, I like what you said about, it all comes down to education, but don't be an ass
Right.
towards someone if they don't know their lingo or something. Correct them, sure. But if they're saying something incorrectly, we're just regurgitating what we've read in a book.
Right. Yeah.
I'm a school teacher. I educate myself on the weekends, maybe, and I've used first and second charter forever.
Forever.
And is it called something else? Sure, I didn't know that. Honestly, don't really care.
Yeah. Well,
You
that's it, Dustin. I think you're right on there. And and that's what I was going to say too, is just presentation, because I'm pretty sure all of us on this round table, maybe Tyler's different, but when I grew up, there was nine planets.
Right.
All the books
Yeah.
say there's nine planets, and then my son comes home and he says, "Oh, there's eight planets." And I'm like, "I think there's nine planets." He's like, "Nope, there's eight right here in my book." So it's, I guess it just depends. It comes down to presentation. You don't have to be a jerk about how you say, "Hey, this terminology should be changed, or it is changing." And to your point, Dan, yes, if you're an organization that claims to be the official or the expert on something, well, then write the books, or write a new book that says, hey, this is the terminology that should be used for these things.
You
Um,
bet.
or or like like to what Dustin was saying, and what you were saying too, is find those leaders that write, or the editors, or whoever's the authors that are writing these books, and really say, this is how it should be. Let's get this changed, just like they did with the planets.
Just like the planets. Again, I have to emphasize to the emailer, thank you for watching. By the way, your email was great. You did verbalize it really in a nice way. Again, that was me, not you. My word of caution is just be very careful because people are already afraid. I mean, National Banknotes is already a clique within a community, just as fancy cereals and stuff like that. But I don't get that vibe. I mean, I listen to Dean and Dustin drone on about their stupid fancies. Actually, I do have an interest. I do listen to it. It does interest me. Errors interest me. Do I collect them? No, but I watch Stu's videos. And for me, it's like I'm not going to pay anything extra for those. That's just my deal. But to make it more cliquish or more, again, entry level makes it harder. Let's do our best to do that. So that it's just be welcoming. And I'm not that welcoming guy. I think you guys know that. It's like,
Oh,
Tom,
really?
just I am and I'm not. I'm just like, I just want someone to be able to start a collection. And some another guy asked me, he's like, well, I don't have a lot of money. How can I get started? I'm like, get started on your small size. That's what happened to me as a collector. You know, when I started, I couldn't afford this. So I worked, I did a lot of my small size collecting early on. And
Or even fractionals.
yeah, fractionals,
There you
that's a
go.
great way to get into that. Yeah. Or
Super
MPCs
cool.
to a certain degree, military payments. There's a ton of different areas that are
Or
really cool.
Disney notes. Disney notes are awesome too.
Oh, get out of here.
Get out. That's a call out to Gunny.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You got to cut
No. No. All right.
Actually, this is funny. I don't know if they're graded. I've never seen one graded, but in Canada, there is a company called Canadian Tire. Some of
Tire.
you might have heard it. Okay. Well, when you go to Canadian Tire and you spend your money, they give you Canadian Tire money as coupons. And if you save up all your Canadian Tire money, you can go in and you can buy certain things with it. And people actually collect Canadian
That's
Tire
a big
money
deal. That's a
and
big
sell it. And
deal.
it's hilarious to me. I'm sorry, I'm not making fun of them, but it's
There
yeah, there it
it
is. There it is.
is.
Yes.
Yes.
There it
That's a
is. That's
deal.
awesome. People
I
collect it. It's
Dude,
awesome.
thanks. I'm
That
going to
is
show them
awesome.
pictures of it because Steve, you've got them. You can't see them great.
Yeah.
Up close, Steve, they're pretty good looking notes, aren't they? I mean, they're
Yeah.
pretty well.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want, I can say I'll email
No,
you a
I'll
picture.
get
There.
some images of them. They're
There you go.
yeah.
If I
Yeah.
could find it, Dan, one actually recently sold for like insane, well, in my eyes, insane money. It was thousands of dollars, and I'm like, what? This
I
is just
can't
money
believe
you
they
get when you go
graded.
in there. Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, sorry.
Collect what you want. And
Very
again,
much so.
trying to emphasize our community and the education and the Society of Paper Money Collectors, it's they need some changes. I'm still a huge supporter of them. But they need to start looking to the future. And my main, I'm going to take this platform and just use it. All right, Society of Paper Money Collectors, if you're a member out there, we need to start encouraging those members to start the people who are running the organization. You need to start marketing to 65-year-old men, not 85. And anybody within that age bracket really does get that joke, but it's true. It really is true. It just, you got to turn the page and step into, I don't know, Windows 1995. Maybe. I don't know. I'll
See, I
close
never
with that.
even realized
21st century, ladies.
that this was an issue, though. I've been collecting for all of 10 years now. And my first and main source of information has always been Paper Money of the United States. So when you go through that book, that's how they're listed: first charter, second charter, third charter. So as a newbie buying that book, that's just how I thought it was supposed to be.
Me
So I
too.
mean, that's why for 10 years I've always said it that way. But now that I know that that's not the way it's supposed to be, I can correct that.
Well, and even if it is incorrect or not correct, I mean, I think if you, and I'm not asking anybody to do it, you want to still do first, second, third, whatever floats your boat. Just don't, it is. I think it's easier. I'm going to change. But yeah, it is what it is.
I'm going to be a rebel. I'm just going to keep doing it.
Just going to keep doing it.
I'm just going to keep doing it. Yeah. I'm going to go out and buy a national bank note just to make a video.
Well, and right, Stu, your point. Yep, we will be good on that, T. To make your point and wrap things up, everybody, if you were to recommend, here's a new currency collector, what's the one book that you'd recommend to him to get first?
Paper Money of the United States.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's
Yes.
the
Yep, I'll piggyback
Wow.
that.
Yep, all of us. I think it's unanimous. Seriously.
It's amazing.
That's the one book that I'm going to tell you to get first. And if it's the only book you get, that's how I feel about that book. So that's where it's like, that's what makes me nervous. It's like, okay, well, why are you starting with this? All right, gentlemen, we are done. This is good. I love this. A lot of banter, a lot of this and that. And I appreciate it greatly. Thank you for tuning in. And as Ontario said, it is on podcast. You can find it.